Welcome to Talking About Organizations, a podcast on organization and management studies, graciously supported by our listeners and the Management Learning Journal. This is a supplement to episode 102, where we discuss the classic book, My Years at General Motors, by Alfred P. Sloan, Jr., published by Doubleday. Today, one may take cars and other automobiles for granted, but back in the early 20th century, they were anything but. Cars were seen as luxury items. Yet they were open-sided and exposed riders to the elements. Most roads were still unpaved outside the cities, and the cars were noisy, bumpy, shaky, and difficult to operate. But above all, the dominant manufacturer in the industry, Ford, had built its initial success on mass production, but of only one variety of car, the Model T, painted in only one color, black. In a matter of a couple decades, this would change drastically to a world where cars were produced in then unimaginable numbers of varieties and styles catered to both the rich and those on tight budgets. Roads were everywhere and driving became an ordinary part of life, and everything from transmissions and gasoline to exterior paints and modeling underwent significant technological improvements. The road to this transformational growth and change in the industry was hardly smooth, and it took visionary leadership to pave the way. Alfred Sloan chronicles the story of these events in the memoir, My Years at General Motors. He served as the president, chairman, and CEO of General Motors from the 1920s to the 1950s, and oversaw the growth of General Motors from a disjointed mix of companies in the 1910s to eventual corporate leader and powerhouse. During this time, Sloan faced a continued series of challenges that plagued other competitors, starting with several economic crises in the 1920s, then the Great Depression, World War II, and the post-war recession, then the automotive boom of the 1950s. Sloan's formula for success, which he had formulated early in his career, was of coordinated decentralization. He felt it was inappropriate and ineffective to establish a unitary central corporate industry over the disparate divisions he inherited, and instead shape them into discrete and separate companies manufacturing cars targeting unique sectors of society, from the high-end Buicks and Cadillacs to the lower-end Chevrolets and Oaklands, now Pontiac. These different makes produced cars at different prices that avoided competition with each other and provided options and opportunities for buyers whose fortunes and tastes fluctuated with the times. On the one hand, each division was granted its own ability to design and produce their own cars, but the corporation maintained oversight and some control over those designs to permit the manufacture of common chassis and parts that allowed care and maintenance to be standardized and more efficient. Sloan also includes in the book several major innovations surrounding the products, the buying experience, and marketing. He created the concept of the annual model and trade-in that allowed buyers to purchase new cars with new features while recouping some of the costs of older obsolete models. He built a financial system to help buyers gain credit without having to rely on banks. He incorporated advances in fueling technologies and engineering to quiet the engines, enclose the body of the car for more pleasant rides, and make the cars more visually appealing. While My Years at General Motors may now be required reading for many business students, the publication and release was far from assured. Sloan himself held up its publication until the passing of all the people whose activities he referenced in order to protect their legacies and avoid offense, despite the fact that none of those gentlemen had any objections when they reviewed drafts of the book. But also, over the better part of a decade, General Motors' own legal staff feared that exposing GM actions during those decades would open up the firm to antitrust litigation and other legal issues. Thankfully for all of us, none of that came to pass after the book's release. And that's all for now. We invite you to listen to the episode, available in two parts on our website at www.talkingaboutorganizations.com or through your favorite podcast streaming service. We also thank the Management Learning Journal for their generous support and the support of our wonderful listeners. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.